Ramsey TV.
Martin Zender here, raising hell and yet at the same time denying its existence for 29 years now, and happy to be doing it. I'm always zealous to keep the walls intact, the walls around Paul's gospel that distinguish it from the other gospel, namely the one to Israel. But also, and I think this is a great thing, to distinguish it from lies, from falsehood. I've been picking on A.E. Nock a lot lately just because he had this weak spot that is spread like gangrene and infects even some in the body of Christ today. Namely, it is a lowering of the bar of truth in order to get more people into the body of Christ, because we're gracious, see? We're gracious people. And people, for some reason, think that grace means then you just let anybody in because we're gracious. So it doesn't matter what you believe. Oh, but it does matter what you believe, or else the teachers are wasting their time. Paul wasted his time going around making sure people got the truth, making sure his heralds were communicating it correctly. Paul did all that in vain, if it doesn't matter what you believe. Now, Mr. Nock wrote a terrible book. All his books were fabulous. If you've never read A.E. Nock's book, The Problem of Evil and the Judgments of God, that is a classic. It is a must read. Go to concordant.org. You might be able to read it free online. It might be one of the ones listed under expositions. You go to expositions and at concordant.org, see if you can find that, The Problem of Evil and the Judgments of God. If not, be old school like me. Get the hard copy. Go to concordant.org and get the hard copy of that book. But the book that he wrote, it was just awful, was The True Basis of Fellowship. That's the book where he insisted that we should not fellowship around teaching, even though our whole thing is teaching. That's why we exist, because of teaching. Jesus Christ taught Paul a new gospel, taught it to him. That is what we fellowship around. Freaking doctrine. Some people don't like the word doctrine because it sounds cold and mean. Okay, call it teaching if you want. Call it knowing stuff. No, that's no good either, because then the spiritually correct, i.e. the politically correct, well, it's not fair to say that we know something other people don't. They know a lot of things. Yeah, but they don't know the essential thing. Let's just face the facts. Oh, I wanted to go to Colossians and talk about ignorance. Let me do that real quick. I wanted to do that in the last show. I think it was Friday. When I go to Colossians chapter 1, and somebody else brought up another great verse. I just can't remember what it is. Oh, something about they're perishing because of the ignorance that is in them. But listen to this in Colossians. In case you don't know this, this is important to know. Paul says in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Colossians, we're thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you, on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the expectation reserved for you in the heavens. If you want proof of our celestial calling, of our celestial destiny, there it is, in the heavens, which you hear before in the word of the truth of the evangel, which being present with you is bearing fruit. From the day, listen to this verse, from the day on which you hear and realized the grace of God in truth. You hear and realized the grace of God in truth. Paul doesn't just say the grace of God in truth. According as you learned it. What, learned it? Oh, that's so unspiritual that we have to learn something. Can't we just flow in the spirit and wave our arms around and sing Jesus songs? We have to learn something. Oh, that's so unspiritual. According as you learned it. From Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who was a faithful dispenser of Christ. When he dispensed Christ, what do you think he did? This Epaphras, he dispensed information about Christ that the Colossians believed. They heard it, and they believed it. And that excited Paul, and it excites the hell out of me too. According as you learned it from Epaphras. That's one part of it. The second part is actually in 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is also critical for you to understand this. Let's start with verse 3. No, let's start with verse 2. We spurn the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor yet adulterating the word of God. See, you can't adulterate the truth. You can't sort of teach truth. You can't say, well, that's okay. It's important to believe in the death of Christ, but if you believe in the Trinity and don't believe in the death of Christ, well, that's okay too. We're not going to nitpick you to death. Oh, yes, we are. We're going to nitpick you to death, because to do otherwise would be to adulterate the word of God. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in God's sight. 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, if our evangel is covered, and oh, is it ever. If our evangel is covered, it is covered in those who are perishing. Perishing. What does that mean? It means they're not having aeonian life. Lock that in. In whom the god of this eon, small g, Satan, blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving. Of the who? The unbelieving. You mean those who are perishing in verse 3? Yeah. Blinds the apprehension, that is the understanding of the unbelieving, so that the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them. I don't know how many times people have told me they just don't understand it correctly. You're too much of a stickler. They have to believe what death is. I know they believe death is life, another form of life, but that's okay. They say they believe in the death of Christ. So, what? They just don't understand it. They just don't quite get the definition of death right. Oh, they think it's the opposite. They think that death is life, and that's okay? No, it's not okay. And how many times people have told me they're just ignorant, Martin? They're just ignorant. That's how they say it. They're just ignorant. You mean their apprehension is flawed? Yes, if you want to say it that way, Martin, you would say it that way. Their apprehension is broken. Well, the God of this eon blinds the apprehensions. That's what he does. Obfuscation is his thing. He confuses. The Rolling Stones had that much figured out. Confusing you is the nature of my game. Sympathy for the Devil. Confusing you. That's his game. They're just confused, Martin. I know. Confusion is deadly. That's what Satan does. He confuses them. He confuses them about death. He confuses them about free will and about what Christ did. He confuses them about what it means to save the world. Satan confuses them about what it means when Jesus Christ died. Satan confuses them about the resurrection, confuses them about the evangel, about the other evangel. They're just confused. Satan loves it when you say that, because that's his main tool, is confusion. That's why I'm out here trying to segregate the confusion from the truth, the obfuscation from the facts. That's what I do, and it's important. That's what Paul did. That's why he sailed around the whole area and risked his neck going among robbers and being in danger from his own countrymen, from those in the city, those in the country, everywhere, to make sure people weren't confused. And in this, he was being opposed by Satan, whose main thing is confusing people. Or, let's put it in the language of 2 Corinthians 4:4, blinds the apprehensions. They don't get it. That's a fancy way, blind the apprehension. They don't get it. I don't get it. How you can say I'm wrong to believe the Trinity, but at the same time say I believe that Jesus died. I don't get it. Of course you don't get it, because you're apprehension has been blinded by the God of this eon, making you an unbeliever and perishing for the eon. Would anybody like some coffee? That's when the coffee comes out. Every time coffee comes out. I don't want coffee. I want to bring these poor sheep who have been led astray by blind guides, by false shepherds. I want to take them from darkness to light, from being lost to being found. Only Jesus can find the lost sheep. Yeah, I know. But he also commissions heralds and defenders of the truth. Soldiers, if you will. What's the result of the blinding of the apprehensions of the unbelieving? It's this, the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ, who is the image image of the invisible God does not irradiate them, doesn't come off them at all, just because it's not in them. Do you know what's involved with the evangel of the glory of Christ? Ho! It first involves his obedience to his Father's will. That's part of the glory of Christ. And that includes going to the death of the cross and giving up his life, committing his spirit to his Father and dying, not existing for 3 days. That's part of the glory of Christ. So, of course, Satan has blinded the apprehensions of people who think they believe it but really don't. The resurrection is another part of the glory of Christ, obviously. But you can't be raised from the dead, think of this, unless you die. The people who herald the resurrection of Christ are full of crap because they really don't believe he died. So what? How did he raise? All the signs at Easter time. He is risen. He is risen. You hypocrites. He's not risen. What do you mean? Because you don't believe he died. You believe his body died. Yeah. And he went to heaven. Yeah. So you can't say he was raised. No, you got to say his body is raised. I want to see all the Easter signs saying his body is risen, because you're not saved by him. You're saved by, apparently, since only his body is risen because he didn't raise from the dead because he didn't die. Then I guess these people are saved by his muscles, his bones, his tendons, his sinews, his red corpuscles, his neck bone. Three bones in the ear, hammer, anvil, and stirrup. Is that what you're saved by? The physical body of Christ? Is that the only thing that died? Or did he die? Okay, I think I made my point. This is a critical verse right there. So let's go back to the booklet called The True Basis of Fellowship, which is all wrong. Hate to say it. So I write in What is a Believer, which again, you can get it, you can read it, ahead of time, not the whole thing because I've added to it and that's going to come out as a book. But right now it's a report, but you have to go to martinzender.com. Please do this. Those of you who haven't done it, go to martinzender.com, scroll down a little bit, and on the right side, you'll see sign up, sign up. You have to sign up. It doesn't cost anything. You just sign up and then you get emails from us. If I ever get kicked off of YouTube again and you wonder what's going on, you'll know what's going on if you're signed up at martinzender.com, and you also get a free report, What is a Believer? You can read this thing. Here's a quote from it. This is why I'm surprised. This is the quote. This is why I'm surprised when A. Enoch writes in The True Basis of Fellowship, quote, while the Lord knows who are his, we are not called upon to determine this. This I cannot believe. We're not called upon to determine who is his? No, we're not called upon to determine it, but it often hits us between the eyes. It's hard not to determine it. When Paul was on Mars Hill in Athens, the Lord did not call upon Paul to determine who were believers and who were not. No, no need for that, because it became pretty apparent, and I quote from Acts chapter 17 when Paul's on Mars Hill, now on hearing of the resurrection of the dead, these indeed jeered, yet these say, we'll hear you concerning this again also. Thus Paul came out of their midst. Yet some men, being joined to them, believe, among who were Dionysius the Areopagite also, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So from this, Paul would have concluded, one, the jeerers, the people who booed him off the stage and brought out the vaudeville can, they don't believe my message. You can determine that. Paul's a pretty smart guy, but you don't have to have a degree in belief determination to understand that the people who jeered were not into you. They're not into your message. They're really just not that into you. They don't believe your message. Two, the procrastinators might believe, but probably don't. Not sure about them. And then Dionysius and Damaris do believe it because they told me they believe it, says Paul. Yeah, they joined us after the gig and they said, hey, we want to hear more about this. Paul explained it to them and they got it. And there was a time in Iconium, you remember that one? When the Jews threw rocks at Paul after he spoke the truth concerning Jesus. But I'm saying all this because it's absurd to say that we are not called upon to determine, and that this is part of the error. Quote from A. Enoch, while the Lord knows those who are his, we are not called upon to determine this. Yes, we are, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. But Paul, we're not called upon to determine who a believer is. So how can we know who not to be unequally yoked with? Paul would say, who said you're not supposed to know who a believer is? Enoch did. He says the true basis for fellowship is everybody getting along together. Paul would say, oh, no. No. It's easy to determine. For one thing, ask them, probe them a little bit, push away the coffee and the sandwiches, find out what they believe. And then if they're like, say, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who believe that the resurrection has already occurred, thus making everybody feel bad, like, I must have missed it, then stand aloof from these people because they're not believing the right thing. In this case, in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus, I don't believe that a misplaced resurrection would have disqualified them from the faith. That's not essential truth. If they had denied the resurrection, that definitely makes you not in the body of Christ. Definitely makes you not a believer. Free will makes you not a believer in Paul's gospel, because I've explained this so many times, but I have new viewers all the time. I'll just state it briefly here. Thank you to those of you who have heard it over and over again. A belief in free will is that you determine your eternal destiny. You determine whether you are released from your sins or not. Ooh, I don't think I've ever put it that way before. You determine whether you are released from your sins or not. You determine that. Wow, that's a big responsibility. Then if anyone says, well, I thought Jesus Christ determined that on the cross when he took away the sins of the world. No. Jesus only made it possible. He didn't actually take away your sins. Because, I mean, obviously you're a sinner going to hell. That's your default setting. You have to do something to get rid of your sins. That's free will. If people believe in free will, they're not in the body of Christ. If people believe in the Trinity, they're not in the body of Christ. If people are modalist, you know, changing in the phone booth, the scenario I told you about yesterday, they're not in the body of Christ. You can determine who are believers, and you better determine who are believers. Because if you get this crazy doctrine like the Trinity or eternal torment or free will, if you get these things going on in a Bible study, or that there's no resurrection of the dead, these things spread like gangrene. And these are damaging teachings. You sure as hell better find out who a believer is. And it's also important to find out who not to be unequally yoked with. So to say that we're not called upon to determine this is another tactic here of Enoch to lower the bar and to throw up his hands, because he doesn't want to do the uncomfortable thing. He doesn't want to personally confront people. He confronted them strongly in writing. But when it came to being in person, you know, he'd be the one serving the coffee at the Bible study. He'd be the one dabbing the perspiration from the brow of the people, struggling with their own sick confessions, struggling with their contradictions, struggling with their hypocrisies, squirming. Knock would hand them a freaking handkerchief and a cup of Sanka, not Zender. I put the heat on them even more. I turned the light on. This is your hour. What are you going to believe? Because right now, you are an unbeliever. I'm going to explain to you why. You're perishing because your apprehension has been blinded. You see, I start sounding like a Christian. I start saying it's like turn or burn. But with me, it's not turn or burn. It's turn and have Aeonian life. There's nothing wrong with saying to people, if you don't change your mind about this, that is, if you don't repent as to what you are thinking, you're on your way to perishing. That is, you're on your way to Aeonian death. You got to change your mind on this. I do that. I sound like a Christian. But the thing is, it's not turn or burn. It's turn or perish for the eon. It doesn't quite have the ring to it. Turn or burn. Turn or perish for the eon. No, it doesn't. Not as snappy. Not as snappy. So I wanted to tell you about the time in Iconium when the Jews threw rocks at Paul after he spoke the truth concerning Jesus. I wonder if they're believers, said Paul, fending off a rock. I don't know, said Barnabas. God has not called upon us to determine such a thing. It could be that they are receiving our message, and that these rocks, are their strange and unique way of telling us that they believe. Paul follows up with, sure, yeah, throwing rocks at people they like merely reflects one of their doctrinal flaws. We should give them the benefit of the doubt. And, Barnabas, I think I'm bleeding. Continue to fellowship with them. Yes, that would be the spiritual thing to do. Besides, the Lord knows who are his.
Yeah.
You get rocks thrown at you. But we're not called upon to determine who is a believer or who's not. So we're going to try to fellowship with the rock throwers. We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. This is just probably their way of telling us how much they enjoy our teaching. Let's not make them angry. Let's not disfellowship them. They have to be in the body of Christ. I heard them say Christ's name. One of them has a metal fish applique with a little cross on it on the back of his chariot. Another guy watches Christian television. It's a good place to stop right there, I think. So, I mean, if this, what I just quoted you from the book, True Basis of Fellowship, if it were an isolated incident, we could overlook it as a rare flaw in Mr. Knox's logic. But this flaw persists throughout several of A.E. Knox's writings. I would call it the non-essentiality of essential truth. The non-essentiality of essential truth. He calls the resurrection essential truth and then says, well, it's not essential that you believe the resurrection. In fact, you can deny the resurrection as the Corinthians did. And we let you skate because we're just not called upon to determine who a believer is. Oh, yes, we are.